right field. There's number two, and it's a long one into the second deck. Didi Gregorius has just given the Phillies a 1-0 lead.
The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. 610-632-0975. Didi Gregorius goes deep. Didi. How far was Didi's shot? Let me check that out real quick. Didi's was 417 feet. JT's was 431. And Phil Gosselin, 396 and 377. Gosselin apparently was asked post-game if he preferred, which nickname he preferred. Did you hear that? And he said Goose, not Barrels. But he should stick with Barrels because he hasn't stopped hitting since they called him Barrels. But I guess he's you got a little bit more from Gosselin on having to earn a spot on the about having to earn a spot in the batting order.
I guess I'm just used to it at this point. I don't think I've ever had a job guaranteed in spring training. It's my 11th year. I don't think one time they've ever been like, hey, you're on the team. So it's always come down to the last few days. Just something you learn to live with and just try to play well and, you know, make the decision hard on them. That's what I've always tried to do. Whether I make it or not, just try to make the decision hard on them. And if I don't make the team, put myself in a position to get called up early. And luckily it worked out this time and I made the team on opening day.
Man, that's tough for somebody. Like, he's 31 years old. He's been in the majors now since 2013. He got his first, made his debut with the Braves. And when you're somebody like Phil Gosselin just hanging around and trying to earn your way onto a team every year, you think about when Major League Baseball, the Players Association, and MLB are having a back and forth, and it gets nasty and becomes public. And then you hear the complaints, well, it's billionaires fighting with millionaires. Phil Gosselin is not a millionaire. Phil Gosselin is a guy who's a 26th man on the roster, an expanded roster guy. And he's playing for his job every time he goes out there. And he's comes into this season, earns a spot, really, in the past couple weeks with the way he's hit in summer camp, in the scrimmages and the exhibition season, just kept getting hit after hit. Got an opportunity. Joe Girardi went with Gosselin today in a starting lineup at the DH spot against a lefty, and he responds. He rewards Joe Girardi showing faith in him with a pair of home runs, and it was a 1-1 game when he hit a two-run shot to give the Phillies a 3-1 lead. That was a big homer, a tie-breaking homer in the sixth. And then Bryce Harper helped set up. Rhys Hoskins was on. Harper came up hitless in his first game and hitless to that point. He had the shift on him. And this is something that fans always said about Ryan Howard. Well, why didn't he push a bunt down the third baseline? To which even Charlie Manuel said, Ryan Howard, the big piece isn't getting paid to hit singles, to bunt his way on. Well, Bryce Harper today figured, hey, it's a 3-1 game. There's a man on base. Pushed the bunt down a third baseline. Got two runners on. JT Realmuto followed with a 3-run blast. Extended the lead to 6-1. Really broke the game open. And then, just for good measure, Phil Gosselin hit another home run. Phillies win 7-1. Zach Wheeler pitches terrific. Tommy Hunter with a scoreless inning. Guerra with a scoreless inning. And tomorrow comes down to Vince Velasquez. You got to count on him to win a series against the Marlins before you play the big bad Yankees. Two games in Philly, then two games in the Bronx. So I'll be there Monday and Tuesday covering that. I'm sure it'll look a little bit different in the press box because of the Yankee beat writers who travel well, but there's still the 35-person media limit. So we'll see what that looks like Monday and Tuesday. Philly's got to get a win tomorrow. But they get the win today, and they are 1-1. What are your thoughts on the Phillies after two games? The bats showing the power. They hit how many homers today? Four homers today, one last night. They got five homers in two games. Joe Girardi, yesterday, some questionable bullpen decisions. Today, questionable decision to start Gosselin, gets rewarded. So your thoughts on that? Maybe some unsung heroes, guys like Phil Gosselin, who were unsung heroes in the past. We've had Manny Trio mentioned. Dylan gave me, you gave me Ryan Madsen the year in 08, right? When he was the setup guy, because we talk about is Brad Lidge being 48 for 48. Ryan May, it was the bridge to Lidge. Ryan Madsen got him there.
Yeah, I think it was a 305 ERA that year. I mean, he was really dominant as a setup man. Some of his underlying stats were better than Brad Lidge's that year. But the closer gets the most credit, but setup men are just kind of just as important.
Yeah, obviously Lidge, when he has a perfect season, 41 for 41 in a regular season, everybody's going to remember that. He had two almost blown saves. Defense bailed him out. There was the one against Atlanta, I remember, and Shane Victorino threw the runner out at the plate to end the game, or else it would have been a tie and a blown save. And then the day they clinched the division, next to the last day of the season, runners on first and third, one-run game against the Nationals. I don't know how I remember this, but first and third, one out. I believe Ryan Zimmerman was at the plate. I'm not 100% sure on who was at the plate, but it was a one-run lead, and it's a ground ball up the middle. But J-Roll dives, flips to Utley. They turn two. They win the game. They win the division, and Lidge's perfect streak is preserved. So, and then, of course, he was dominant again in the postseason, 7-for-7. But you're right. Ryan Madsen is sort of an unsung hero on that team. I went with a guy like Greg Dobbs. But, yeah, you're right. Him. 1993 Phillies, I picked a guy like Mariano Duncan. He was an unsung hero. You talk about Kruk, you talk about Dave Hollins, Darren Dalton, Lenny Dykstra, but
if you want to go back really far, I mean, this is before my time, but Dick Allen. I mean,
Dick Allen belongs to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, beyond unsung, I mean, Philly fans treated him horribly.
That's
I mean,
the problem, yeah.
I mean,
He's a guy who belongs in the Hall. You look at his numbers, Dylan, man. It's terrible that he's not in. You're right. Dick Allen's a guy who was never appreciated. Never really appreciated till now. Yeah, that's a good one. So we're talking about that. Some Sixer thoughts on the game yesterday. I was most impressed, of course, with Ben Simmons, his ability to still get those 9 assists, still his ability to find guys, find the open guy, to create with the ball in his hands. But obviously, when you talk about Ben Simmons yesterday, him shooting two threes he took from the corner, missed one, hit one, fluid, smooth, no hesitation, huge step. This is what we've all been waiting to see out of Ben Simmons, and now he's playing a hybrid four. You gotta love seeing that yesterday. And the Eagles miss out on Jamal Adams, and I have no problem with it. We talked so much about, the potential to make this deal, the speculation, what it would take. Well, he was traded today to the Seattle Seahawks, who gave up 2 first-round picks, a third, and a starting safety to get Jamal Adams in a fourth-round pick. That's a hefty price for a guy you're going to have to pay a lot of money to. So if you disagree, I want to hear from you. But 610-632-0975, that's how you get in. I was fine with it. I didn't want to trade a first and a third, let alone 2 ones. Let me get to my man Vince in South Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Rob. Good evening. I'll tell you, man, I was so tempted to take a walk down to the ballpark today as I was out earlier, man. I'm thinking, oh, man, do I miss being there?
Were you able, how much did they show those guys? Because I was there, I couldn't see it. How much did they show the fans who were outside? Did they show them on TV?
I wasn't able to watch on TV, but I heard there were like a bunch of people out there.
Yeah. Really,
you know.
They were loud. They were really loud. It was cool.
Yeah, but no, it's funny because, like I said, I used to walk to and from there back in the old days, you know. I used to love walk home at night, even at 2 in the morning. You know, I used to do that, you know, kind of release all the tension. Sometimes you get so wound up covering a game and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's funny. I don't know if this qualifies as an unsung hero or not, but I don't know if you remember a fellow by the name of Gus Hefling, who used to be a trainer for the Phillies.
The strength and conditioning guy for Lefty, maybe, right?
Yeah, no, because yesterday there was an article by Mike Sielski along with another Inquirer reporter, and they talked about, he's like 85 right now, but apparently he's battling He's suffering from some kind of a condition as a result of chewing smokeless tobacco for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's like fighting the tobacco companies because they basically saying they kind of like were trying to, you know, use Major League Baseball as like a way to like unload this stuff, you know, to get people to use chewing tobacco.
Oh, but anyway, and they were giving it out.
Yeah, like for free and stuff. And
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was a strength coach for the Eagles and the Phillies. I didn't know he was with the Eagles, too.
Yeah, he started off with the Eagles, and I heard, and according to him, like he said, he didn't really get along with Dick Vermeil, so when the time came, like he's moved over to the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And like I said, obviously Carlton was a star pupil, but he was also credited, as they basically said, like he helped extend their careers. You know, they played into like their late 30s and early 40s, you know, and
No, that would qualify for me. A guy like that, you know, he wasn't on the team, but he was a guy who helped them kind of like, and before people would talk about, like guys going to a sports psychologist, he also worked with like the mental aspect of the game with them a little bit, mental toughness, mental conditioning too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he was talking about, you know, it's like he had a combination of like a martial arts background and I think some other type of people influencing him. And the funny thing is, because he actually mentioned an exercise in the article that I even tried here. It's almost like you push the tongue to the roof of your mouth and you feel your neck muscles stretch. I mean, it was amazing. Like, I said, wow, I feel the stretch.
You got me doing that on air.
Yeah, no, but it was amazing. Like, I just thought, wow, that's something, you know? But
I'm going to do that during a break.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just thought, you know,
like
it was a fascinating article. So, you know, if you ever get a chance to read it.
I will. I will take I see another. I just Googled him, and I see another article on he's talking about, oh, wow, this is from like 12 years ago where he talks about mental conditioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's good stuff.
What, and he also had a, he also talked about, I remember this too, like remember the old vet elevator, if you ever
had
an accident on there?
I was once stuck in that elevator with Joe Torre, and I forget who else. Joe Torre and may have been Andy Pettit. And I tried to pry it open.
Oh, you know what? You know what's funny? I was actually on a similar thing with the Yankees in town. I was stuck on it with, I remember being on it with Joe Torre, Tino Martinez, and I think a couple other guys. I don't think it was the same time you were there, but
I don't remember. We've all been stuck on that.
But I remember we went all the way up to the 700 level. Yeah. That was the scary part. I thought it was going to be like one of those cartoons, you know, it shoots out.
Yeah, where it drops. I think everybody's got. I had multiple, man. One time with the Braves, Javi Lopez was on it with me, and that time I was able to pry it open, and then the next day I saw him in the clubhouse, and he like greeted me like I was a hero. Oh, you got us out of the elevator, or whatever it was.
Well, I also stuck when the Red Sox were in town one day, and I was pressed up against the side with Rich Garces. Remember the side?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was brutal. Like, but just it's amazing. Like, even just write a book on the stories on that elevator.
Oh, that elevator was a scary thing, man. The events and the different kinds of stuff that you can come up. Do you go as far back as when Ron Howard, the Eagles PR? He was the guy when I first started. He had some stories too, man. There was a lot of stories, but they were the good old days.
Hey, real quick, are they feeding you in the press box there?
No. It's bring your own food, bring your own lunch. They have bottled water.
Oh, okay.
There's no food. I don't believe there's food anywhere in the stadium. So
I can imagine. Yeah.
It's very. We're spaced out. We're like 6 feet apart. So after 21 years and sitting in one spot right behind the plate, somehow I got moved over, and it is what it is. But
yeah.
All right, Vince.
Anyway, okay,
good
Rob.
Stuff, man.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Talk to you later. Those elevators. One time, I went to I was stopping by the AP office, and this was, all right, Dylan, this is like story time. This is probably about 14 years ago. So it's before I met Remy 10 years ago. So it was before I met Remy. It was about 14 years ago. I was actually on a date, and I needed to stop by the office to pick up some. I would always go by the AP offices right there on 18th and Market. I would go every maybe several months just to pick up supplies. Like I'd get notepads or get whatever. So I pull in. I have a special parking, and I didn't want to bring the date inside the building because you need a card or whatever. And I say, I'll be right back. So I go on the elevator, and it's probably like midnight, 12:15 in the morning, and the elevator gets stuck. So now I believe it may have been a first date. So I text and I say, I'm stuck on the elevator, to which she doesn't believe me, thinks that this was my grand scheme of ditching her. So she took a cab. She got out of my car, took a cab, and, you know, that was it. That was the end of it. But now I'm stuck on this elevator, and the security guy can communicate with me, and he's like, it's going to be another hour before we can get anyone here to get you out. So you see me. I do a three-hour shift or a four-hour shift, and I'm probably going running. I'm drinking three bottles of water, running to the bathroom every other break. Now I'm on an elevator. The guy tells me I'm going to be stuck for an hour 15. My date is bailed because she thinks I'm trying to ditch her, and I created this story of being stuck on the elevator, and I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, well, I know a few years ago I pried the elevator open at the vet, and it worked. Let me try and pry this open. So I'm prying it open, and I get the doors to come open, and there's a wall like sheetrock. So I'm like, all right, you know, we're on, I forget, 17th floor. So I'm like, I'm yelling down at a security guy. I'm like, I got sheetrock. I'm going to kick through it. He's like, I would advise you not to do that. I'm like, no, I'm going to kick through it. I got to go to the bathroom. So I kick the sheetrock in, couple kicks, and behind it, I put a hole through it, and then there's brick right there. So I had nowhere to go. So you know what I did? I was like, there's a hole right there. I had to go really bad. And next thing I know, the guy's going, I can hear you. It's trickling down all the way. And then next thing he goes, he's like, I'm just glad it wasn't number two. So that was the last time I was stuck in an elevator. It wasn't as eventful as Javi Lopez or Joe Torre. That was me stuck, you know, 14 years ago, probably 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. Like I was like 225, and I was jacked up. Like I felt I could open anything. I pried that open, kicked through that sheetrock, and bam, hit a brick wall. I'm like, that was not a good idea. Guys yelling like, I told you not to do that. But yeah, that is I guess one way. And it wasn't. I don't even remember the name of the date or anything like that. And I apologize, but I was not lying. If any woman has told people that story, I was not lying. I really was stuck on an elevator at the AP office. Oh, man. I wonder if it's been 14 years. Could I get in trouble for destruction of property? Because I did kick in. But it's a wall. It was sheetrock behind, sheetrock with brick in front of it, in between like the floors. So I don't think anybody ever saw that, right? I don't think anybody could ever see that.
I got stuck on an elevator once, but it was only for like 5 minutes. It wasn't a whole hour.
Did it crash at all? Like, did it, you know, drop?
No, it was only it was only three stories of elevator. But I was at my job at Rutgers. I worked at the student center, and I get on with I'm pushing like some chairs on it to bring them upstairs. Then the elevator just stops. I'm like, uh-oh. And I radio someone. And thankfully, whoever was there to fix it was already in the building. So They got me out quick. But
waiting an hour, being told, like, you got to wait an hour, that I was definitely not looking. It was a long hour for me. And ever since then, I've always been kind of wary when I'm about to get on an elevator. Like, as soon as you hear as soon as you feel the bump, or you feel this, or you feel that, I'm like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? But haven't been stuck since, so knock on wood, thank God, whatever. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. We've been talking about the Phillies getting a nice win, game two of the season. Zach Wheeler doing what he was brought here to do. Pitch well, win games, avoid a slump, a losing streak, Aaron Nola fell short in his debut, and I don't think that's any indication that Aaron Nola is not ever going to get back to the form of 2 years ago. That's jumping the gun. I know people have floated that out there, like, oh, I'm worried and concerned about Aaron Nola. No, Aaron Nola is still, to me, he's still an ace. He's still potentially a guy who is a top five pitcher in a National League. It was one start. It was one start. And as he said after, he's like, I've thrown three times. This is my third start. And he's still, this was an incredibly difficult, weird, strange season. Now, of course, it's the same situation for Zach Wheeler. And he was able to go out there and pitch very well, very effectively. Five hits, one run, seven innings, two walks, four strikeouts. Was helped by four ground ball double plays. So that was good for him. So we're talking about some of the Phillies today, how they fared. Phil Gosselin, a pair of homers. How do you feel about this team 2 games into the season? Your thoughts on the Sixers, how they played in their exhibition? Because tomorrow they got another one. And, of course, you can hear the Sixers take on OKC tomorrow at 12 noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic as they get ready for their restart next Saturday. And Jamal Adams was traded, not to the Eagles. I think it's okay because they gave up. Seattle gave up 2 first-round picks plus some. 610-632-0975. I got an open line for you to join the show before I get out of here. Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.